Lord today. How's everybody doing? Doing good? You're looking good out there. Is my mic not on? There we go. There it is. Well, I'll tell you, when we think of this song, The Great I Am, we've been talking about this sermon series that we're in right now, Identity Thief, and God shares his identity with Moses when Moses says, who shall I tell the people who sent me? And God says to him, I am. I am that I am. And what he's saying is, I am it. I am everything. You find everything in me. And I define myself. So we're going to continue today in this series. I pray that it blesses you as we open up God's Word. Have you ever, have one of those days where you just didn't know what was wrong with you? It's just one of those kind of days where it's one of those stinking thinking days. Anybody have a day like that? Anybody besides me have a day like that? Anybody having a day like that right now? Okay, we're going to change that. Then you start to find yourself, the way that you think about people gets all messed up that day, and the way that you're thinking about yourself and the way that you're thinking about your circumstances. And you wonder, why am I thinking this way? I find myself in situations like that all the time, and, the fact is, there's an enemy out there, and this enemy, the devil, he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your thought life. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to ruin you and take you apart piece by piece. And one of the first areas that he attacks is our minds and our thought life. That's one of his primary targets. This is especially true when you're going through a difficult season or you feel a lot of pressure and anxiety, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to be in the book of 1 Peter today, if you want to turn with me. We're going to be in chapter 5. And listen, if you don't know who you are, and I think we've started making this clear last week, if you don't know who you are, or maybe I should say, if you don't know whose you are vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. You are weak to his attacks. In fact, he's looking for easy prey. And I wonder if you're an easy prey today. Because that just might be your problem today. You're under attack because you are vulnerable. And the Bible tells us the devil is the deceiver. He is the adversary. In Isaiah chapter 14, it says that the devil fell from heaven because he wanted to rule. He wanted to be like the Most High. And probably better to say that God pushed the devil out of heaven. In Ezekiel 28:17, it says that his pride was what caused him to reject God and fall. And the truth is, he is a liar and a thief, and he wants to cause you to question the things of God. He wants to cause you to question God's word, and he wants to cause you to fall. And he is at work, whether you sense that or not. He is in the world. He is mentioned many, many times in the Old and New Testament. Jesus brings up the topic of this devil, Satan, several times, but he wants to weaken you and to the point where you identify more with him than with the Lord. Did you hear that? He wants to weaken you to the point where you identify more with him than you do with God, where his word is sort of the dominant word in your mind, and God's word is sort of pushed to the side. And we find ourselves in these weak moments where we're wondering, why in the world are we thinking this way? And why can I not get out of this way of thinking? So he has all kinds of schemes. And if you don't know whose you are, you won't know how to defend yourself against the devil's schemes. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, it tells us to put on the full armor of God so that we can make our stand against the devil's schemes. And he's always scheming. And we're going to see that today. You know, last week, I want to just kind of do a recap. Last week, we were in John chapter 10. And Jesus is, he's scolding these religious leaders. That was really the context of that passage last week, is he's addressing these religious leaders. They were supposed to be shepherding the people and guiding the people, protecting them. But Jesus gives this analogy, and he says to all of us, he says that we're like sheep in a sheep's pen. And the sheep, listen, the sheep need a shepherd. In fact, the sheep must have a shepherd. They must have a shepherd. Because there are all these thieves and there's these robbers out there who plan to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And he also says that he says that he came to give us life and life in abundance. He's come to give us life abundantly. So here's what we know, is there's all sorts of thieves and robbers out there, okay? In this particular passage, Jesus was referring to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, but there's all sorts of varieties of thieves and robbers out there. And what he was getting at is, my sheep, he says, hear my voice. They know me, they hear my voice, and they follow me. So you're going to see that up on the screen. Because this is, when your identity is in Jesus Christ, you will know him, you will hear him, and you will follow him. It's as simple as that, okay? You will know him intimately. That's what Paul says, I want to know him. I want to be intimately acquainted with him. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. This is reiterated throughout Scripture. It's important that we don't just know about God and we don't just know about Jesus, but we know him personally. Why? Because we'll need to know his voice when he speaks. Why? Because there's all kinds of thieves and robbers out there who are speaking. The devil is speaking into your ear. And you have to be able to identify, is this the enemy? Or is this the truth of God's word? Is this him? And so we need to know how to hear the good shepherd when he's speaking. And then we need to also know to follow him, because that's what God's people do. They follow him. But again, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And when this stranger comes, it says that the people, that the sheep that belong to God, the sheep that belong to the good shepherd, they will not follow the stranger. And I want you to think about that as we are considering our thought life. Are you following the stranger today with your thoughts? Are you following the thief and the robber with your thoughts? Because there's so many thieves and robbers out there. Now listen, there was a time in John chapter 8, verse 44, that Jesus referred to the Pharisees, and he tells them, you are not of God, you are of your father, the devil. And so what the deal is behind all these thieves and robbers, and behind the religious leaders of that day, was the work of the devil. Influencing, okay? Just like he can influence your life today. And he's always speaking. And the question is he your guide? Is he going to be the wolf that comes in and steals your thoughts and steals your life away? Or are you listening to the good shepherd? Are you hearing him, and do you know him? Are you hearing him, and are you following him? Well, in our passage today, we'll see just how this all sort of works. how the devil attacks and how to be aware of the devil when he attacks. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Give you a little background here. What was happening in the city of Rome at this time was Nero, he was the emperor of Rome, and Nero was obsessed with building and new construction. And so what he was doing is he was tearing down old monuments and old construction so he could keep building stuff, things that are new, and keep building statues of himself. Not that he had a whole lot of pride, right? But what happened is during this time, a fire broke out in the city of Rome, and it burned most of the city down. And the people were distressed, and they began to focus their attention on Nero, blaming him, saying he must have burnt all of this down so he can build new things. And so they started blaming Nero. And so what Nero did to deflect their attention off of him is he said, no, the Christians in our city, those ones that follow Jesus, they're the ones that started this fire. They burned the city down, and they did it intentionally. And so the people took their attention off of Nero, and Nero and his army, along with the people of Rome, gave all of their aggression, focused all of their aggression towards God's people. And then Scripture tells us that they were dispersed, and they were scattered about all over the region. Christians ran, and listen, they could no longer buy and sell. Think about what was all happening here. They couldn't buy or sell in the city. They've lost their livelihood. They were dispersed. They weren't all together anymore. And they were feeling the pressure and the persecution, and many of them died during this time. They were killed. And so Peter writes this letter, and what he's trying to do is he's trying to teach these believers how to live in victory in the midst of all of this suffering that they were going through and this persecution. And so he spends a lot of time reminding them who they are in Christ. And he wraps up this letter in chapter 5, and how he begins chapter 5 is he's telling these leaders, he's talking to the leaders, the shepherds, the pastors, if you will, of the people. And he tells them to shepherd the people, he says in verse 2. And he says, be an example to the flock, he tells these under-shepherds. And then he tells them to do these things until the chief shepherd comes. That's the second coming of Jesus. And so continue to do these things. Shepherd the people. Be a good example for them. And so here we see that example again of a shepherd. And here, Jesus is referred to as the chief shepherd. Last week, he was referred to as the good shepherd. So here again, we see this picture of shepherding and guiding the sheep. Then he directs his attention to the other believers in the congregation. So this now he would be directing this attention to us, right? If we were a part of this church. And he says, likewise, in verse 5, you who are younger, because he was referring to the elders before, okay? But he's saying, now, you who are younger, those of you who are among us, be subject to the elders, to the shepherds. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It's interesting. He doesn't try to first console them. He just says, look, I want you to be subject to these rulers, to these leaders, to these elders. I want you to clothe yourself with humility, because right now you are under such pressure, and you just want to go your own way, and you want to fight back, and you just want to rebel right now, but I'm just telling you, right now, I want you to do this. I want you to be faithful, and I want you to be humble, and to humble yourself to one another, because God, he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Then he says in verse 6, humble yourself. Here it goes again, the same word. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. And so there it is again. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you at the proper time. You know, humility is the attitude, it's an attribute of a believer. It's a huge part of your identity in Christ. That look, you cannot live consumed with pride and follow Jesus, the Good Shepherd. You can't do it. You can't do it. And so what he's doing is Peter's sort of taking them back and going, look, you're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to just humble yourself. And don't try to think you know what to do. Don't try to think you can be in the lead here. You just need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And don't try to exalt yourself. He will do it in due time, okay? He will do it in due time. So as believers, our behavior, it comes from this position, this attitude of humility. And you will struggle to follow God, the Good Shepherd, without it. So the first instruction Peter gives is humble yourself. And then he says in verse 7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So when we suffer and when we struggle, when we have all of these anxieties, they make us want to control things, don't they? When we feel these pressures, we just want to take the reins and begin to control things. In our pride, we want to take the wheel, right? And we want to begin to steer the ship. But Peter tells them, cast these anxieties on him. Humble yourselves. Cast these anxieties on him. Don't try to take control and carry all these things yourself. Because he cares for you. And he's for you. He's not against you. Amen? Thank you. Praise the Lord. So submit yourself. Humble yourself. Then he says, verse 8, be sober-minded. Be watchful. He's giving this instruction. And why does he say this? Sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So here Peter makes known, you can't quit. You can't drop your guard. There is an adversary who wants to destroy you, and he's very cunning, and he's very deceptive, and you can't see him. When you are suffering and you're going to think that it's all kinds of different things, that it's people causing these problems. And there's the enemy over there, and it's a group of people over here, and it's a group of people over there, and it's Nero, and it's the townspeople. And you're going to be pointing your finger everywhere, thinking it's them. And like Paul says, our fight, our war is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. See, our enemy cannot be seen. This enemy, the devil, cannot be seen literally. He's around behind things, and he's pulling strings behind things. And listen, you have to be sober-minded. You have to be sober-minded, he says, and very watchful. Peter uses this term, sober-minded, three times in the book of 1 Peter, and it means being clear-minded or having self-control or guarding your mind. That's what it means. And then he says, we must be watchful, which means to be vigilant. What he's saying here is that we must have awareness. So when you're in the midst, think about this. You're in the midst of a lot of pressure. It's not easy to be clear-headed, is it? And it's not easy to guard your mind, is it? Because you got all this stuff going on and all these pressures and things coming from the outside. And that's when your mind gets cloudy. And I'll tell you, you're in your weakest time during these moments. And you can make some really foolish decisions. Anybody vouch for that? You can make some really dumb decisions when you are weakened and you're in your weakest moment. And that's where these people were. They're away from their homes. They have no idea what to do. They have no idea how they're going to make a living for themselves. And not only that, but there's people hunting them down to kill them. They're being persecuted. In the midst of your suffering, all your mind wants to do is focus on all the difficulty and the pain, and I'm sure that's what they were going through. They were focusing their minds on the hopelessness and the helplessness and the difficulty of their struggle. And they're thinking to themselves, you know, I'll never make it. We'll never get out of this. They're going to chase us down. They're going to kill us. And imagine what God's people were going through during this particular time. But listen, that's not being sober-minded. That's not being sober-minded. That is playing into the devil's scheme. And so what Peter tells them is to be sober-minded and to be mindful, to be watchful, to be aware of what's happening. You know, when I was a young man, I struggled with alcohol. And I used to use alcohol in my toughest times so I can escape things, okay? But what alcohol did is it made me drop my guard and become more vulnerable, okay? And so what I would do is I would drink to escape, but what God says is you need to be sober-minded if you want to get out of this mess. Do you see what I mean? Do you see how this works, okay? And maybe it's not alcohol. Maybe that's not an issue for you, okay? But what happens is we think we can control things, that we will fix it, right? We think when we're in a situation like these believers were in, and maybe you aren't in quite a situation like that where people are tracking you down to kill you, but we think when we're being squeezed like this and we're being pressured like this, that we have to be the ones to dig ourselves out. And so what Peter's saying is he's saying, calm down. You need to guard your mind and be sober-minded. And let me ask you a question today. How are you doing in this area when you are faced with pressures, when you're faced with difficulty? Do you know how to get clear-headed in the chaos? And here's some wisdom. If you'll just stop, and you'll just pray and ask God to reveal His word to you, to empower you with His Spirit, if you'll just take a moment in the middle of it all and say to Him, Lord, I trust You more than I trust the voice in my head. Lord, I trust You more than I trust this voice in my head. Because sometimes, and you're probably like me, sometimes I don't know, is it me that's really coming down on myself right now, or is this the devil, right? How do you identify? Well, listen, it's most likely the enemy convincing you and deceiving you. So he says to them to guard your minds, to guard your minds. So first it was to humble yourself. Humble yourself. And the next is to guard your mind. To guard your mind. Be sober-minded. Your mind has to be clear. You have to be watchful and aware. Because listen, there is an adversary, the devil, and he is prowling around, it says at the second part of this verse, like a roaring lion seeking to devour somebody. Seeking to devour somebody. Have you ever seen a lion hunting its prey on one of these, you know, channels, Animal Planet or whatever it is? So what'll happen is there's a herd, let's just say, of zebra, and they're just creeped down in the grass. And what the lion does is it's looking for a weak link in the herd. It's looking for a straggler, right? Maybe a lost zebra, right? One that's kind of veered off a little bit. It's looking for one that's weak and young. It's looking for maybe one that's limping. It's looking for the immature. It's looking for vulnerabilities. This lion is looking for physical ailments, something, anything that he can use and he can capitalize on. And then once he sees those vulnerabilities and one of them, once he sees one kind of veer off, that's the one he locks into, and he literally zeroes in on that one. The rest of the herd is running by, and you'll see some of the herd just runs right in front of the lion, but he's so focused on the one with the weaknesses. This is just like the devil. He seeks, and he prowls around, and he's like a roaring lion, and he seeks to devour you. And the question is, and I'll stop here, is who are you listening to? And what are you doing in the middle of all this? And what were God's people doing in the middle of all this? Well, Peter is saying, look, humble yourselves. Take a deep breath. Come under your leadership. Humble yourself under God. And through all of this, he will lift you up. He will exalt you. He's assuring them of this. And he says, but look, you got to guard your heart. You got to guard your mind. Keep your mind guarded. And look what he says in verse 9. Resist him. He's talking about the adversary. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Resist him. And he says, firm in your faith. We are to resist the devil. We are to resist the devil. I was watching this. I like to watch these, the first 48 hours. Anybody watch that? It's like a detective show. I don't know why I'm so obsessed with that show. It's pretty ridiculous. But anyways, I was watching, there was this man who was basically beating up homeless people. And he went and he took this pole or whatever to attack this homeless man, but the homeless man stood up and fought back. And the man took off running. And it made me think of this, because I just watched this literally the other night, but it made me think of this passage, resist the devil and he will flee. If you will stand up and you will resist, okay? See, what happens is we don't resist. So we'll hear these words. We'll think they are us, you know, we're talking to ourselves. And these words are tearing us down, okay? Chopping down our tree. They're tearing us apart. They're devouring us. And instead of resisting them, we accept them and receive them. Instead of resisting the attack, we open ourselves up to it. And so Peter is telling them, resist. And look what he says next. He says, resist him, firm in your faith, firm in it. So that means pull in your faith. Look, regroup, find your faith again. Trust the Lord, resist the devil. Trust the Lord, resist the devil. That's what he's telling them. And I like what he says here, knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood. All the other brothers, you know, when you all left the city and you all dispersed, just know they're going through the same thing. And they can relate to you. And it's interesting, James uses this same formula, because what he's saying here is he's saying, resist, stand firm in the faith, and remember there are others who are going through this too. And James says chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you will just resist him, and you will submit yourself by faith, because that's what he's talking about here, resist him, firm in your faith, you'll resist the devil, and you'll by faith stand on the truth of God's word, the devil will flee from you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There we go. There we go. So we submit, we humble ourselves to God, and we guard our mind, and we resist the devil. We resist the devil. The devil doesn't expect you to resist him, does he? He expects you to listen and to follow his lead. That's what he expects. But just as a side note, if you'll remember last week, that what we do is we listen to the Good Shepherd, and we know him, and we hear him, and we follow him. We follow him. So in verse 10, he sort of wraps it up, verse 10 and 11. He says, "And after you have suffered," Peter tells them, "a little while, the Lord of all grace," and he's reminding them of the grace of God. And that's hard to receive when you're going through so much suffering, and he's talking about the grace of God. But he says, "The God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself," listen to this, "restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Listen to me. These issues, these too will pass. You will get on the other side of them. Okay? Sometimes it seems like these things go on forever and ever. But whatever you face on this earth, it's all temporary. It's all temporary. And this is not all that there is. And so when you get on the other side of this, God, he will restore you. He will confirm you. He will strengthen you. He will establish you. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen," that we can see with our eyes, "but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient." These issues that we face on earth, whether they're financial, whether they're stuff that related to work, maybe they're relationship problems, maybe they're marriage problems, whatever these problems are, okay? They are transient. They are of this world, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so what's happening is these believers were suffering, and Peter not only wanted to remind them of their identity in Christ, but he wanted to remind them that they have victory in Jesus. They have victory in Jesus. And so you're going to see this on the screen. You might want to write this down just as we look at this. And you might want to revisit this and keep revisiting it to remind you. So how do we do this? Well, you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and you let him lead you. You submit yourself to God, and you let him lead you. You let him lead you. You open yourself up to his leadership. If you're not going to be humble, God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. If you're not going to humble yourself, it's an act of your will. Okay? It's an act of your will. If you want this to work out, I want to encourage you, because this is the attitude and this is part of your identity in Christ, is that you will live humbly before God. And so he says, humble yourself. So that's point number one, is that we humble ourselves. We come under his leadership. And then point number two is we guard our minds. We guard our minds. We are sober-minded. We pull back in all of the chaos. We pull back and go, "Lord, I'm going to trust you. I don't know what's going on here, Lord, but I'm going to calm my mind. I'm not going to get jumpy. I'm not going to jump into more problems. I'm going to calm my mind. I'm going to guard my mind. And I'm just going to listen to you and let you guide me." But it's not just about him guiding you. It's also, number three, about you resisting the devil. You can't let these thoughts go and continue to take your mind to places that are dangerous and destructive and continue to do that and think it's going to go well with you. We rely on God's truth. We humble ourselves, guard our minds, and we resist the devil. You know, the devil's primary way of attacking me is telling me how incapable I am, how dumb I am, how worthless I am, how I should just quit this and quit that and leave this and don't do that and nobody likes you doing this and stay away from that and stay away from this. And so that's the devil's, that's how he attacks me. But look, it might be different with you. So think about your weak areas, all right? And maybe you have a bunch of weak areas. I know I do, all right? So think about your weak areas. That is where he's going to tag. And so if you find yourself going, why am I going through all this suffering in this area? But then I look at Joe Schmo over there, and everything's really working out good for him in this area. It's because you're weak in that area. And he wants to strengthen you with his truth. Amen? And he wants to build you up. And he wants to show you his power. And he wants to take you to new places. And so let me just ask you, where is your identity? Because, you know, there's an identity thief out there, and he is lying to you about who you are. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are children of God. If you have trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, those are truths. And he will guide you. He will be your good shepherd. And one day the chief shepherd will come back and take us all to our new home. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And I know this was a word for somebody in here. And they are feeling crushed under the weight of this world right now, Lord. And I pray that you will, by your grace, teach them and show them if they will just trust you, if they will just trust you, if they'll just put their faith in you as the good shepherd, if they'll come to know you and hear you and follow you, you will guide them into all truth and all understanding. I pray that you'll speak that into their heart today, Father. Help them to know how much they are loved by you, our Heavenly Father, and how much they are loved in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, maybe you don't have a relationship with the Lord today, and you have been just a lost sheep wandering. And I have been there before, and it's a very lonely place because you're trying to invent life and trying to make up a life for yourself. God has a perfect plan for you. And when you try to live out your plan as a lost sheep, it's a crooked path. But he has a straight path for you, and it's very clear. It's a beautiful thing. There's nothing he wants more than to show you and to reveal to you who he is. In him is life. In him is abundant life. It's not all roses. You will go through hardships and difficulty, but he'll walk with you like a good shepherd does. And when the wolves come, he boots them out. And when the thieves come, you can identify who the thief is. And when the robbers come, you can identify who the robbers are. And when the stranger comes to lead you away, you can identify, this is a stranger. This is not my Lord. This is not the one I listen to. And he will open up the path if you'll just trust him, and he will make your path straight. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And so if you want to hear more about this Lord, this incredible God that we serve, and maybe you didn't grow up in a church, maybe you have been far from the Lord, maybe you became a Christian when you were 8 years old, and you've just been on autopilot living like the rest of the world, I'd love to talk to you. There's a slip of paper on the